Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master, Energy Teacher, Medium, and author of the newest book in a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, which shares stories and messages from Spirit to show us our challenges are not merely economic, political, or societal, but often a disconnect from our inner being or soul wisdom. I am delighted today to welcome Matthew McKay, a clinical psychologist and author of his newest book, The Luminous Landscape of the Afterlife, as he shares the channel journey of his son's travel across time and space and shows us what really happens as we transition from a physical life to a spiritual and energetic experience. Hello, Matthew, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within to share your very personal, detailed story of life beyond this physical world as described by your son, Jordan, who resides there now.
Hello, Cheryl. I'm really glad to be with you.
Matthew, as listeners of Healing From Within over the years have really come to expect, my very intuitive and inspirational guests and I share intimate and illuminating views of life in both the physical and energetic aspects. As we explore the duality of our life force, we come to realize that consciousness survives physical death and life is eternal as our soul incarnates into different times and places to continue to grow through experience, a greater awareness of love and compassion and learning. Life beyond life is as real as a physical life in the three-dimensional world, but even more expansive. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Matthew McKay specifically decries the transition experience of his son Jordan, who has channeled the information to share in this book, describing the early stages of the afterlife, and shows how death is a realm of imagination and thoughts and intentions, creating a luminous landscape entirely of consciousness. This wisdom provides profound relief from the fear of death, as well as exercises to learn how to communicate in spirit. We will discover the unbreakable bond between the living and dead. They're not really dead, but we still use that word, and the love that remains forever. Matthew, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, maybe a place or an event, that may have shown them the lifestyle and interests they would pursue as an adult. For I feel our destiny and life plan are already within us at the time of birth. You may also want to tell of one of your son Jordan's remembrances. So think back.
Well, yeah, I think what strikes me about memories of childhood associated with the afterlife is that I was always very moved when I read anything about someone from the other side, someone who was gone, communicating with the living, and I'd read things in books, even in books that were for children, about connection and communication between the living and the dead, and I would start to cry without knowing why. There was something about it that was such a powerful idea for me, and also it brought me this strange form of happiness, I'd just caught a glimpse of a deeper reality. So those little experiences as a child, I think presaged what was going to happen to me later, that I would learn to talk to Jordan when he was on the other side.
Well, you were a sensitive child, and I smile hearing you describe it that way, because in a way I was the same way. I couldn't understand that a person would leave and be not here in their body near to me, because our soul knew that wasn't the truth, that we had eons and eons of life, both here and in other places, through energy. And even as a young child, your soul, a much mature sense of wisdom, existed, and you knew it somehow. But Matthew, you wrote this, that when your son died, you had no idea or belief that the dead could talk to us. You sort of just knew something, but at best they seemed gone in another world, separated by loss and the deafening thunder of our grief. Perhaps even worse, their passing spoke a truth far more dire, that they ceased to exist and that these sweet, ephemeral spirits lived only in memory. But then Jordan started speaking to me, at first only in dreams, but then through mediums, through a process called induced after-death communication, and then through the gift of channeled writing, he told me he was here with me and could teach me what he knows about the afterlife. Now, I know that, you know, as a medium practicing for the last 25 years, part of us energy stays in spirit, in the collective consciousness, and part of us here is in physical life. And I know you've learned that through your communication with Jordan. But, so go on to tell us about Jordan's first experiences when he realized he had passed or transitioned.
Yeah, I mean, he was actually, for a period of time, somewhat confused. He wasn't actually clear if he was dead. He noticed he was outside of his body. He couldn't make his limbs move. He was struggling to understand what was happening. He had been knocking on a door to get help and had died basically on the doorstep. The door opens. People are looking at him. He can't respond. Eventually, paramedics arrive. He's watching all of this unfold. And meanwhile, he's starting to get a sense that something terribly dire has happened. And he begins to travel. He begins to move first to the house he shares with his girlfriend, and he's watching her sleeping in her bed, but he can't rouse her. He can't communicate to her. He comes to us in the middle of the night. we sleep without any hint of or awareness that anything has happened. He visits another friend who experiences the apparition, but thinks it's a negative energy or it's some perhaps evil force. He doesn't realize it's Jordan. So he's visiting people, and there's no response, and he feels really helpless and alone. And he eventually begins to feel that tug, that sense that there's some energy force that's pulling you. And he begins to move away from his body and away from the earth plane and his parents and his siblings and his girlfriend, all of that. He begins to feel himself moving away, and he kind of gives into that. It's almost dawn, and he realizes that he wonders whether he's really, you know, waking up for another day, and then realizes no. He's actually beginning to see a different kind of light. And he, you know, moves through a kind of a gray zone until he sees this kind of over-bright light, a light that not only has a luminescence, but it also seems to convey meanings and communicates and carry some sense of love. And he arrives at the landing place, which is where most of us do show up in the beginning. And my understanding from Jordan is that this is sort of an anti-world, or a foyer of the actual spirit world. And in this, Jordan tells me, and I'm sure you've had experience from people you've talked to,
yes,
on the other side, that this place is constructed of energy. It's not, from my understanding, a physical place, but it's
well, what it is, yeah, Matthew, what it is we are energy beings. Everything about us, even here in the physical world, is created by our thoughts and energy. And when you're out of the body, as people who have had near-death experiences, or people who have traveled, astral traveling, which I've had experience with, realize they're but an atom of being, but they remember they are who they are. They remember everything, like being in the body. They're just, for a time, not in the body. So he was experiencing this. But you wrote something that I liked very much. Death cannot be understood until the purpose of life is also recognized. We are not here to be redeemed, proven worthy, or to earn a high station in heaven. We are here, Jordan says, to love and to learn. So life is loving and learning, and death merely facilitates moving from the physical dimensions into the world of spirit. Our life as a soul in spirit has the same goals as here, to evolve and to grow. I just thought that was so well said. Actually, most of what Jordan tells you I have found to be true after 25 years of functioning as a medium, and I always tell my clients the same thing, that we will continue to learn and love beyond this physical life, and we will live in spirit, similar to the way we create and manifest our life on earth, by our thoughts, our actions, our intentions, like the law of attraction, that what we focus our time and energy on manifests. And you express that very, very well in the book. Yeah.
Yeah, it is true. Everything you're saying makes sense to me, and I know some of it is Jordan's words, but some of it is also your own deep experience.
Mm.
And this sense that knowing, you know, in order to understand death, we have to really understand, well, why do we come here? What what's the whole point of having these incarnational processes where we show up and certain families, cultures, eras, bodies, you know, surrounded by all kinds of world events. We show up here to learn. And the sole reason for incarnating is to learn. It's not, Jordan says, and you're saying as well, it's not to be judged. It's not that idea that, you know, you're going to go to heaven or hell,
right,
and you have this one life to prove yourself worthy. It's that we have many lives, and we come here to learn. And the biggest thing we're learning, we have individual lesson plans. There are things we're working on, and, you know, growing certain qualities of spirit that we all are working on. But the biggest thing we're learning, and again, as you said, is to learn how to love, but learning how to love in the face of pain. Because there is no pain in the afterlife. There's love in the afterlife, but there's no pain. And so there aren't the challenges to loving that exist here. So we come here for challenges. You know, I mean, a simple example would be a mom who's worked all day, is exhausted, and her child is having trouble with homework and is grumpy and doesn't want to do it, and so there's pain, and the pain could get in the way of love. It could get in the way of sitting down with that child and
attending to
their needs.
But Matthew, then we have the opportunity through any pain or suffering to react at a higher level of being, of love, of our soul. So yes, that is why we have suffering and pain in the physical world. It's actually helping to refine our soul energy to a higher level. And if we don't judge anything as good or bad, but just as experience, and we try to move through it to the best of our ability with love and compassion, then we're doing what the soul was born to do. And eventually, people like you and I, and lots of the people who are going to listen to this show, are trying very hard to answer those questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? What happens after this life? Is there, you know, anything that remains of my consciousness? And the truth is, the answer, we're finding it in a book like yours, channeled from a soul and spirit who's partially here in this life with you and partially up there with the collective consciousness doing other things. We're always doing and being when we're not doing so much as we're just being and being present in the reality of whatever dimension we're in. Now, I'd like to tell a little story. My sister passed 6 years ago from pancreatic cancer, and she was given morphine to ease her pain. And very much like Jordan, she was a little confused at the time of the passing. My father was there calling for her to come forward. I did a reading with her after 8 months after she had passed, because you can do a reading with someone in spirit who's not in a body, because their energy is still, like you're doing and talking with Jordan. The medicine perhaps made it difficult for her passing. She didn't move forward into the light, but when she did, because my father was drawing her forward, she saw the Statue of Liberty, and from the lights of her crown, many loving souls moved to embrace her. And in my new book, A New Life Awaits, here's what I wrote. When I interviewed Annie, I had no idea that before long my sister Adele would pass. As a medium, I often receive thoughtful, creative, validating messages for my clients. I assumed this was the way Spirit intended me to use the gift of spiritual communication. However, I was told long ago that I could speak to any soul energy, anywhere, alive or in spirit. But I never try to contact my own family members, as I felt that should they need to reach me, they would. But 8 months after my sister passed, I decided to meditate and try to check in to see how she was relating to her new world. Unlike Billy, who reached out to his sister, like Jordan reached out to you, I reached out to mine in spirit, and I wrote down whatever she presented me. And I could feel her energy around me and sense she was surrounded in a blanket of green glory and quietness. She was in the next spot that you go to after passing, which you described as the healing spot. There's the Bordos and there's the landing zone. And then for souls who need it, you talked about the next place, which was the healing place. Yeah. Which is the stop for many distressed souls. And my sister didn't want to go. So her heart was still healing. And she was there in that spot. So yeah. tell us something about the healing place. Yeah.
Yeah. So many souls who have had a difficult life, who may have had a lot of health struggles and other kinds of painful transitional processes as they got older and were getting closer to death, do need healing. Our soul energy gets impacted by the struggles and the pain that we go through here on Earth.
Absolutely, yes.
And then the other thing is that happens is sometimes souls take a lot of negative emotional energy into the landing place. They may take a lot of anger into, or a lot of fear, or a lot of shame about their lives and how they lived it. And so, or they may be angry at others who they blame for painful events that befell them. So this pain, either the remnants of the physical pain or the emotional distress, can't really enter the spirit world. So we go to the healing place where, you know, the way Jordan describes it is like a giant open air hospital.
Yes.
And souls are reclining. They appear to be sleeping, but actually guides are helping to remodel their energy, dropping into their consciousness images that are healing. Sometimes they actually end up living for a period of time in spaces where they have whole scenarios and stories that unfold that they are part of, like a dream. But these stories are healing and help resolve some of the emotional pain that they struggle with or some of the residuals of a difficult life. So in the healing place, we are taken care of by loving guides who are specialists at what they call remodeling soul energy, helping helping to heal the cuts and wounds that we suffer in our soul energy all through a lifetime.
Yeah. So my other sister passed in 2020, and I didn't wait 8 months to check in with her, because by now I had the experience. So I checked in with her, and she showed me herself on the water, smiling, wearing a huge hat. She used to love those hats, and reclining. And there she was in the healing place. So she had gotten there quite quickly. My other sister, took a longer time. But she told me, and I'd like our audience to know this, that she was received in spirit as she had not been received in the world. And there was so much love and so much goodness and kindness there. And she was happy. Truly, truly, she found happiness that she had been unable to find here because she had many challenges. So I think that was beautiful. I don't want people I don't want people to be afraid of passing. So many people are afraid of dying that they don't live. They just protect themselves and surround themselves in a bubble of I think in the book you talk about how they're not able to connect fully because of the fear of being rejected or having loss of any kind. And it's none of that, but you don't really know that till you get to the spirit world. Here, there are still so many challenges, as you said. So there's nothing, yeah. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing.
Yes, exactly right. And we can always talk to those people on the other side. Channeling is not anything in my experience that is the special province of people who have those special gifts of clairaudience.
Absolutely not. Everyone can connect in meditation to spirit. Everyone is having telepathic thoughts come through their head from spirit. Spirit is all around us all the time. And if you think of someone, they are around you. When I was writing my book, a medium told me, I am a medium, but I deal with a lot of other mediums, and sometimes they give me a very wonderful message. And they said to me that your father, when you walk on the boardwalk, is giving you much insight for the book. He's helping you with the book. So as you were helped from spirit by Jordan, so I have been helped by people in spirit, my father included. Now, we belong to soul groups. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. Once we get into the spirit world, we've gone through the landing place, and if we need some healing, we've done that. And the next stop is, of course, life review, and we go through a very important process of looking back at our lives, not only as in terms of from our own point of view, but from the point of view of everyone around us, all the people who are impacted by us. We get to look at our life that way. And then eventually we get into the soul group, which is usually what I'm told by Jordan is like somewhere between 8 and 20 souls are in a group. And it's a family. And what he says is this is a very powerful moment of reunion when we return to our soul family, because we're, as you said, part of our soul always remains in spirit, and part of our soul incarnates. But so there's part of our soul that's always there, and when we return from an incarnation, we sort of join up with the part of our soul that's remained always in the spirit world. But what Jordan says is that we are always together, the living and the dead. That we are never actually separated. That's only an illusion. We are together with all the people we love. And they greet us certainly when we come through after death, but they are with us here. They are aware of us. They are helping us here. And so we're always together. And he also says that we're always part of the whole of all of consciousness, all of collective consciousness, whether we want to call it God or all. We are part of that. So we're always united in love with all these other souls. And this illusion of aloneness is sad. It's part of what we have to live with in this life.
Yeah, because we forget who we are. That's why you and I have spent a lifetime trying to remember and get back to who we've always been and always will be. Yeah, and that's what we're sharing here. So tell us what you conceive love to be, because it's really important.
Well, I think that love is made of different things. I think a part of love is just seeing and knowing this other soul. Seeing and knowing this other soul, and a big part of love, and I think most people can confirm this, is when you feel like somebody really knows you, and they love you. What a powerful experience!
Yeah, that's it.
They know you and love you.
That's it. We all want to be known, and we don't understand what we want to be known about us. We want to be known and accepted for everything we are, our shadow side and our good side. And I think love is also a place, like, it's where consciousness resides. Now, where would that be? Where consciousness resides is a place of pure belonging, where we enter each other and finally the whole. So what might you like readers of the luminous landscape of the afterlife to take away with them after reading this very detailed view of the journey during the transition to spirit?
Well, I think the most important thing, if I can say this, is that Jordan says this, is that you need not fear death. You need not, there is nothing to fear in death. Yes, there's things that we go through physically as we go through the transition, but there is nothing to fear about death, because he says you will be received, you will be cared for, and you will be loved, because the afterlife is all love. That's what connects everything, is love. You will be loved. And he says the dark door will open and the light of love will take you in. And that's what death is. The door will open and the light of love will take you in.
And
that's why you don't have to be afraid.
No, isn't that beautiful? That is the truth. And when you know that truth, you know, I used to be afraid of death. My parents were afraid of death. All the people I knew were afraid of death. But then I had these miraculous happenings, and I realized that a lot of my earlier beliefs were not so. And I've spent the rest of my life writing and interviewing beautiful people like you to share that message, which I promised Spirit I would do, and we're doing it. So I want to thank you, Matthew McKay, author of The Luminous Landscape of the Afterlife, for showing us through the experiences of your son, Jordan, who passed at the age of 23, his wondrous journey to the spirit world and the loving connections to loved ones, higher vibrational beings, guides who have been with us here in life and with us in the afterlife. And he makes us know that all life is simply about experiences, learning and loving and evolving to a higher level of compassion for all that is, or universal source, or the divine, or God, or energy, whatever you wish to call it, to really get an accurate and beautiful validating way to visualize and know how best to approach the transition, the landing at the gate, and what comes next. Purchase this book and go to
it's seekingjordan.com.
In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have interacted with our minds and hopefully our souls to the distinct need to understand death or passing and the eternal through the feelings and awareness of Jordan in spirit, shared with his father Matthew, to write a book where we have a true vision of the state of the soul, both here on earth, and the reasons why souls choose a physical life, the beauty of living, learning and loving, and the journey back home, which can be made more wondrous if we leave fear out of the equation at the time we leave our physical bodies and begin again our life in spirit. Matthew wrote, "The deepest truth of the universe is that love is eternal. Our relationships to each other and the whole go on forever. Reuniting is a myth born out of our physical lives. We are always together, even though on earth we forget. Always united in love, always and irrevocably connected to all of consciousness. So reunion is merely a ceremony where incarnated soul energy returns to spirit and our soul group and friends, and we bang the drum to welcome us home. But in truth, we never left them. our collective love has always held us as if, and I like this so much, we were one breath. Matthew and I would have you know, the more you allow, accept, and surrender to all experiences without judging them, good or bad, you will begin to be comfortable and in tune with the challenges of the physical world and will come to have an easier transition back to spirit when that time comes for you. The cycle of life is truly miraculous, whether in or out of a body. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, medium and author of A New Life Awaits, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to metaphysicians, visionaries, spiritualists, scientists, medical professionals, psychologists, and travelers through time and space, helping us recognize our uniqueness and eternal spiritual capacity to evolve and live in all phases of exploration of self, the world, and beyond. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.